driving me. My shame is taking away. My pain is in His name. I believe. I believe. I'll raise a banner. It's my Lord, it's conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer
God pays, He's a pain taker. shake and stand up. You got Jay. Well, he's a chain breaker. You believe it. If you receive it. If you can't feel it. Somebody testify. You believe it. Receive it. If you can't feel it, somebody testify, testify. You believe it. You receive it. You can't feel it, somebody testify. You got pain. He's a pain taker. You can love.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.
Stars they wept, the morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on a cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon us. sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing
join me in asking God's blessing on our offering. Gracious God, we come to you today in a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude. On this day, even more than any other, Father, as you are risen today, and you are the reason for all of our blessings, you are the reason for our eternal security, you are the reason that we can take each step every day. Lord, as we give back some of the blessing that you've given us, we just ask your wisdom and how we apply that. We ask your wisdom in where it goes and the ministries that it fulfills. We thank you for the many blessings that you've given us, and we acknowledge you today. We pray these things in the name of the author of freedom, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand, I'm
first cry to final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
My brother has risen. I was getting worried about you again.
How long was I out?
Don't be mad, but...
What?
We welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem yesterday.
Mary, why didn't you wake me?
I brought you back palm branches, though, to keep.
Mary...
I wanted to let you rest. You barely slept at all since...
Life is a little different when you've been brought back to it.
Maybe so, but I still need you to rest.
No, sister. I need to be where he is.
I know you think you need to go out and find him right at this moment. But Lazarus, I need you to take care of yourself. I can't lose you again.
Okay. Tell me everything. What was it like? Did he preach? Did he perform miracles? How many people were there?
Well, there were people everywhere. Mm-hmm. He rode in on a donkey. Oh. And the road was covered in cloaks and palm branches. And everyone was shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." We must have done that for hours. I bet they could hear us all the way in Galilee. You know, after you died, I was so mad at Jesus.
At Jesus? Mary. I was dead, and now I'm alive. And it is only because of him.
But he knew that you were sick. And he took so long to get here. And in that moment, I felt like you were dead because of him.
Until I wasn't.
And it was in that moment that I realized that Jesus was everything we needed. Everything I needed, but nothing I expected.
Yes, Mary, yes. He did not come here riding on a triumphant horse for glory or to be allies with the powerful. He is power. He is glory. He is triumph.
He's a king, but one that actually loves his people.
He is a king that will go into death to save us. To stand in front of us. To call us out of our grave clothes. And to offer this life that only he can offer. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus.
He's the one.
He is the king. And he's come to save us all.
Bring in the prisoners.
Herod found no fault in this man. Neither do I.
Pilate, this man claims to be the Son of God, and he must die.
As you know, every year, I release a criminal to you. We are holding a notorious murderer, Barabbas. Who would you have me set free back to you? The murderer, Barabbas, or Jesus, the Messiah? Again, I ask you, who do you want me to release unto you? Free him.
Take him away. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus?
then what would you have me do with Jesus, the Nazarene? Then take him and crucify him. But know this, I find no fault in this man.
Crucify him!
Cornelius, is there no satisfying these stubborn Jews? I am so tired of their constant whining and complaining about absolutely everything that I do. Will it never end? First, it was the time when I marched the troops in full regalia into the streets of Jerusalem just to give them a taste of the majesty and the power of Rome. All they could do was complain about the idolatry that they said they saw in the image of Caesar on the shields. I was furious. I threatened to kill every last one of them where they stood if they didn't disperse. And you remember what they said? Oh, we would rather die than live with this offense before our eyes. And then there was a time when I took just a little money out of the temple treasury to finish a project, the aqueduct project, that just benefited the entire city of Jerusalem. And they rioted again, claiming I had no authority to touch any of their funds. More than there was the time when, in an effort to honor Caesar, I hung those same shields up in the palace of Herod as a tribute to him. And they rioted again. This time they reported me to Caesar himself. He reprimanded me, told me to take him down at once. The very thing that I did in an attempt to pay tribute to him, they used to turn him against me. And now this Nazarene. I know the only reason why he was arrested in the first place was out of jealousy. They can't stand him. But what am I supposed to do? My wife sends me a message, please have nothing to do with this innocent man, for I have suffered terribly in a dream concerning him. She's afraid that if I judge him, that our entire family will be in jeopardy. But what am I supposed to do? You heard the Jews. They were threatening to report me to Caesar again. And in this political climate, with all that's going on, I cannot afford to do anything to attract the attention of Caesar in my direction. So I'm stuck. I had no choice. I had to give in to their demands. So once again, I am carrying out their dirty work. Oh, how I despise these proud, self-righteous murderers!
In Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow streets, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary.
from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Blood that was cleansed the souls of all men, made its way to the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Jesus died for my transgressions, that he paid that price a few short hours ago, when he gave his life for me on a hill called Calvary. But there's something else I want to know. Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Can he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing him pain? And I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting here. It seems that I'm so good at breaking promises, and I treat His precious grace so carelessly. But each time He forgives, what if He relives the agony He felt on that tree? Does He still feel the nails every time I fail? Does He hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing Him pain? That I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting Him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Time I fail, have I crucified You, Jesus, with my sin? Oh, I'm tired of playing games. I really want to change. I never want to hurt You again.
There's soldiers everywhere.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. I heard something.
I can't believe Jesus is gone.
He said he would come back.
Let's get inside before the soldiers come.
How could they have been so brutal to Him? Jesus was so gentle. They crucified Him for doing good. No one has ever loved me the way Jesus did. How can I go on without Him, without His love?
I never thought He would die. When He was on the cross, why did He save Himself? Why did He let this happen?
When I anointed His feet, I never believed that I would one day anoint His body.
Oh, Mary. Mary, how will we move the stone?
Look, the tomb is open.
Oh, no.
The stone has been rolled away.
Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again.
Gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. Oh, the stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. So we both ran to the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. But I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it could never be the same. Then suddenly, the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Then Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Alive.
The life and death of Jesus Christ has been aptly referred to as the drama of redemption. And oh, what a drama it is. From the very first announcement by the angel to the Virgin Mary, sweeping throughout his entire life of miracles and works demonstrating that he truly was the Messiah, followed by the events that you witnessed this morning. There could be no drama that could be more powerful and more meaningful to all of us. And yet, friends, this was not a drama that God orchestrated for our entertainment, to give us a warm feeling about once a year on a beautiful Easter morning. It was not a drama that was even intended to do little more than just give us something to cling to and something to belong to. This drama, from the very beginning, was intended for one reason, and that was to reveal the love of God for you and for me, and to make a way for us to be with Him for all of eternity. You know, in any drama, there are more than one character. And this drama is no different. Many characters, but if you would just join me for a few minutes, let's think about four of them. First of all, let's think about Pilate. He was nothing special. He was a middle-class Roman soldier. But he was clever enough to advance his career by arranging the marriage between himself and a 14-year-old granddaughter of Caesar Augustus. So he received the appointment to rule in Judea and the surrounding areas. He was a soldier that had accomplished some significant things on the battlefield. He was used to being in charge. He was a man of much self-confidence. Oh, but he never asked to be thrust into the middle of this drama. And that was the last thing on his mind. He was simply looking for job security and a good retirement plan. And he just wanted to skate through life and get where he needed to be while all of the political intrigue and moves and assassinations and treasonous charges would all be behind him. But then Jesus walked into his chambers, and Pilate's life was instantly brought to a head. You know, it's interesting that in Scripture, Pilate no less than five times tried to release Jesus without killing him. Why was that? You know, one thought is that he hated the Jews so much that he thought this would be the best way to get back at them, to not give them what they wanted. But Jesus reminded Pilate that you have no power. This is all out of your control. So was it more than that? Was it perhaps that Pilate truly believed his wife? And that there was something special about this man? That maybe he truly was innocent? Or was it even during the interrogation? The way that Jesus answered him. The way that Jesus looked at him through eyes of pity and eyes of love. We will never know. One tradition says that Pilate was, not too long after this event, removed from office, sent back to Rome to answer for how he had handled things. And then from there was banished into France, where tradition says he later took his own life. But there is another tradition, and it's supported by at least one Christian writer from the first century, Tertullian. He just flat out states that before Pilate died, he became a follower of Jesus Christ. Imagine a man that has been remembered throughout history as the man who gave the order to have Jesus crucified. Walking the streets of gold. Can you imagine the story? As you bump into him, Pilate, I gotta know what happened. And he would relate how God miraculously saved him, even though he had no clue at the beginning of the story that he was even lost. Maybe not. But one day, if he's there, I believe we'll meet him. You know, but there were many other criminals involved in this drama besides Pilate. How about the two criminals who died on either side of Jesus? What was their story? Well, the scripture calls them robbers. So we know that they were guilty, but they were probably guilty of much more than robbery, because robbery was not a capital offense under Roman law. You know, probably what really was the true scenario is that these were two associates of Barabbas. And the three of them had been arrested during one of the many insurrections that Barabbas was famous for being involved in. It makes sense. Capture those causing trouble. And what do you do with them if you're Roman? Oh, you make a public example out of them. You put them on a cross in a very public place. You let them die a very slow death. And you make the statement to the rest of the population. This is what happens when you mess with Rome. Even though both of those criminals began the crucifixion mocking and taunting Jesus, you remember that at some point during that day that one of them changed his mind. Why? We don't know for sure. Maybe it was because of the way Jesus prayed to his Father and asked his Father to forgive these men who were doing what they were doing because they did not understand what they were doing. Maybe it was the love and the pity that they saw in Jesus' eye, with no malice, with no anger, with no bitterness, with no threats or promises to get even. All we know is that at some point, one of the criminals looked at Jesus and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And you remember the answer today. You will be with me in paradise. I promise you. So those two criminals, both very guilty, both deserving of death, both closed their eyes in death on the cross. One opened his eyes in heaven, the other in hell. Perfect illustration of the choice that you and I must make about Jesus. But the best illustration of all is seen in the criminal Barabbas, the dirty scoundrel you witnessed on stage. He was notorious murderer. He was guilty of many counts of insurrection against Rome, but he was a Jew. He was a Jew that hated Rome as much as most all Jews hated Rome, with this one difference. He had decided that violence was the method by which to make an attempt to throw off Roman rule. And so his life was dedicated to violence. He had quite a reputation, had been involved in many of the insurrections against the Roman Empire. But once captured, placed in prison, I know that the Romans were looking forward to making a public example out of him. But then Jesus, right? Jesus stepped into this drama and everything changed. Barabbas was given a free pardon, full pardon, free to walk. He was absolved of all of his crimes. He walked out of that courtroom drama as though he had committed no sin and no crime against the empire. A Jewish man, his Hebrew name was Jesus Bar Abba, Jesus, son of the Father. No coincidence here. And this exchange, this substitution, gives to us the most incredible picture of redemption. So here you have Jesus, son of the Father, guilty of many crimes, not just against the Roman Empire, but against humankind, fully deserving of death, with no hope and completely helpless against the forces that held him. He understood that in a very few short hours, he would be on a cross where he would be screaming and yelling and cursing the empire that he hated so much. But as God would have it, there was another son of the Father who would step into that drama. And there we find Jesus. Son, capital S, of the Father, capital F, who literally stepped into Barabbas' shoes and he paid the penalty for the crimes that Barabbas was guilty of, while Barabbas walked free. Friends, don't miss that illustration, because that was done for a reason. God the Father, in his desire to reveal to a lost and dying world how much he loves them, sent his Son, the only Son of the Father, to come and be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, and ultimately to give his life as a ransom, a payment, to completely cover all of the sins, all of the crimes that you and I are guilty of. Because you see, we are convicted felons. We are guilty. There is no argument. We do not have a case to make for ourselves. We have broken God's law over and over and over again. We too are helpless. Nothing that we can do to save ourselves. We are hopeless without Christ. We have no future. We have no promise. We have nothing to look forward to except an eternal separation from God. But then Jesus, Son of the Father, took our place. He absorbed the wrath of God on our behalf, and he completely satisfied the law, so that not only were our sins forgiven, but we were given the very righteousness of God, so that when God looks at us, he does not see a forgiven sinner. He sees a holy saint. He sees us as though we had never sinned, because his Son had never sinned. That is the culmination of the drama of redemption. And every year, this drama is emphasized. It's played over and over so that we might not forget what all was involved, so that we would understand the love because of the pain and the suffering. You know, as you watch Jesus making his way toward the hill of the skull, you must have thought as I did, Lord, how could you do this for us? How could you endure such suffering, such torture, such treatment? But we are reminded of Hebrews 12, where it says that for the joy that was set before him, the anticipation of what would be the result, Jesus endured the cross. He endured it. He carried it. He bore it. He embraced every moment of his suffering, because he knew what it would accomplish. And what did it accomplish? It accomplished for you and for me the opportunity to be with him in heaven for all of eternity. Can you wrap your minds around that? It's as if Jesus just said, what? That suffering? Oh, that was nothing. Compared with the fullness of my family being with me for all of eternity. Once and for all set free from their sin and their guilt and their shame, their insecurities. But to be made new and whole the way I created them to be in the first place. Maybe you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you are, even here this morning, a follower of Christ. But maybe you're not following real closely. You saw what Jesus did for you. How can you offer him any less than your best? How can you go day after day after day without even opening his word? Without even spending any time with him, just him alone in prayer? How can you go day after day without telling him you love him? And telling him how much you appreciate what he did for you? How can you go without worshiping the one who died for you? How can you go through life without being a part of a church family? A place where you can honor the Lord with your worship. A place where you can honor him with your service. A place where you can be part of what he's doing in a group here in Pagosa or around the world from wherever you're from. How can you settle for a life lived in separation from him when the truth is he died so that you would not be separated? But if you're here this morning and you've never become a follower of Jesus Christ, maybe to this point you just don't believe. Maybe you're like Pilate, a little bit clueless to how lost you really are. Thinking about job security and retirement. Once I get past that, well, then I'll have time to think about this less important stuff. But because you're here this morning, Jesus has intruded right in the middle of those plans. And he is asking you, what will you do with this man who is called the Christ? Will you accept him? Will you bow the knee? Will you submit your life to him? Will you receive the gift of salvation? Or will you put it off like Pilate did? You have maybe no more time than the two criminals on either side of Jesus. Your minutes could be and are numbered. If you decide to wait, you have decided no. And the only way to not decide no is to say, okay, Lord, I surrender. I will not let this Easter, another Easter, be wasted on me. And if that is where you are, then as we close in prayer this morning, would you just pray with me a very simple prayer? Let's bow our heads together. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm lost. I know that I have no hope without you. But here and now, I repent of my sin and I turn to you in faith and trust in your promises. And I accept the gift of salvation that Jesus died to make available for me. And I give you my life. And I thank you for making me part of your family. And perhaps if you are one who needs to recommit your life, that you would join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for your patience. Thank you for the love that you have shown to me. I have accepted you as my Lord and Savior, but I have not been living my life as though you are truly my Lord. And so I here today surrender my life to you. I covenant with you that I will meet with you each day, that I will spend time with you, that I will surround myself with those who love you so that I can learn and grow with them and from them. That I will find a church family to join and I will be involved in learning and growing in my faith in you as well as in my service to you. Lord, forgive me for my selfishness. And Lord, take control of my life, I pray. And Father, we humbly bow in your presence this morning. We are overwhelmed that you love us this much. That you would allow your son to endure what he endured. Just to make a statement to us on how much you love us. And to make a way possible for us to be with you. I pray that for every single one of us, that we would leave this morning with a determination that will not be changed, that we will live for you, we will walk with you, we will listen for your voice, we will study your word, we will spend the rest of our days serving the one who gave his life for us. And Father, we ask that you would hear our prayer and that you would make it stick in our heart. Father, for those who might be here this morning that are confused, they are burdened, they don't know where to turn, they don't know what to do. Maybe they have questions about this whole drama of redemption. Lord, I pray that you would give them courage to hang around and to find one of us to talk to, that we might be able to share with them more and open up God's word to them. We love you, Lord. We worship you this morning as we celebrate not just your death, but your resurrection for us. Thank you for conquering death. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for coming to show us the way. Thank you for promising us that our eternity is secure in you. And Lord, we give you all that we are and all that we have and all that we will ever be for your praise and your honor and your glory. And we will ask all of this in your precious name. And all God's people said, amen. He is risen.
He is risen.
Go tell the world. They desperately need to hear this. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.